What's up, metalheads? Welcome to In the Pit with Dimitri and Dick. On this episode, we're going to review the metal band Family Vacation and their album Hella Fucking Sideways. This band is pretty unique as the band that doesn't have guitar. They basically just use their bass as basically the guitar and the bass. It sounds really awesome. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I am Dimitri Sparks, and I also have Dick DeFeliz with us on the podcast.
What's up, Dick? Hey, how you guys all doing, huh?
Doing good.
Yeah, good to hear.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was all right. Typical stuff, you know, nothing too out of the ordinary. Yours?
It was pretty fun. Yesterday I went tubing.
Oh, really?
River, yeah, in a tube. Me and a few friends went. And one of the tubes, we had a cooler full of beer.
Oh, yeah.
So, needless to say, I drank way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Shit-faced drunk toward the end. We went through twice.
Was it true Pilsners, or what did you have in there?
Oh, it was terrible. It was Trulies. See, I forgot that I didn't have any beer in my fridge, and all I had was my wife's Trulies.
You didn't get the Cloak and Dagger or those ones, whatever the other seltzer they got going, or...
These weren't even White Claws. These were truly, which I guess I've had White Claw before. They're pretty similar.
Yeah.
The flavors are pretty good. The wild berry sucks. Not wild berry. Black cherry. That's the worst one.
Tastes
like cough medicine with a little bit of alcohol mixed in it.
Well, really, when you think of it, though, aren't they all pretty much just the equivalent of like vodka seltzer or something? I mean, it's not really, I don't know. Similar.
They're all really fruity, and they all kind of taste like if you ever had a LaCroix. With some vodka mixed in it. So, to your point, basically all it's like vodka and flavored water. A little bit of carbonation in there.
Yeah.
I probably had 10 of them, and it was so hot out, too. I was just sweating the whole time. Like, I felt like I was melting. I was sitting there drinking it, and I was like, it's terrible, because there was no shade. It's just, there's trees around, but you're in the middle of the river, so you're just sweating.
How many times did you capsize?
Did you flip the tube? Once. I fell off once. It's hard to get back on, because they're pretty big tubes, and when you're drinking a lot, it's just hard to have any type of balance and momentum to jump onto it when you're in the water.
Yeah.
Like, the rocks underneath it were really slippery.
Yeah.
So, like, at one point, we were trying to get off, because you get off, and there's a bus that takes you back to the front where you sign in and everything. And you could go back again a second time. We went twice. But I think it was either the first, or maybe it was on the second time. I think it was the second time when we were really drunk. And we got off the raft, and one of my wife's friends stood up, and she was drunk, and she fell. The rocks are really slippery, and there's, like, they're not balanced. So you hit a rock, you fall over. So my wife's friend was falling over. So I was like, oh, I'll grab you. So I grabbed her, pulled her up, and she's like, oh, thanks. I was like, no problem. And then like a second after that, then I slipped. So I fell, but I feel like I fell in slow motion. You know, like I was trying to catch myself with my other foot. It just wasn't happening. I fell and hit my knee. Nobody said care when I fell. Everybody else was like, when my wife's friend fell, they were like, oh. But not me, not so much.
I've never actually done that tubing thing. I've gone canoeing or kayaking or something once before, and that kind of ended up with similar results to that, though. I don't know. I remember me and the guy that were going, though, it was a bad combination of the two of us being in the same kayak or canoe or whatever it was, because I was about 250 at the time. He's about 280. The thing only had about an inch of room above the water before it was about to just sink in anyway. I don't know why they put the two of us in the same one. Well, it was what it was. So I know the feeling. But, whatever.
How long were you on it for?
I don't know. Well, when you're not good at it, it seems like you're on it for like 12 hours. But, I mean, it was probably about like 4 or 5 hours. I can't, you know, that was about probably going on 10 years ago. I can't remember. It was when I first moved to Florida, so I don't really recall what exactly it was, but I know there was gators in the water, so that made the whole thing even more uneasy. But
did you reach down and pet a gator when you were canoeing, since your boat was so low?
No, I was just trying not to get eaten. I don't know.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're canoeing, you're doing a lot more work because you're basically trying to move you and the boat.
The tubing,
they're basically a current. It wasn't a real strong current. But you just lay in the tube. You don't have to do a whole lot besides for you have to dodge branches.
Sometimes a
big pile of sticks in the middle of the river. You got to kind of navigate yourself around that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing, because I know with the whole canoeing thing, it was basically neither of us knew what we were doing, so we kept just paddling against each other, and that pretty much made the whole thing that much more worse, because, you know, the whole thing wanted to flip over and do whatever, so it wasn't really the most enjoyable experience. But, you know, me and the guy were saying, why couldn't we have just went to a brewery or something instead of this outing, but you know, whatever.
It's like, you want to just drink beer? Now let's drink beer and add an element of exercise to it.
Yeah, one that you've never done and we know you'll be bad at. So.
Right, exactly. We won't be fast at it. It'll take a long time. Like, it took you 5 hours, but everybody else would take 1 hour, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much about it, too.
You have, like, a bunch of kids that, like, pass you up. It's like,
Oh, yeah, and they were all doing stuff like petting manatees and, you know, seeing all kinds of cool things that we couldn't do because we were just trying to not flip over. You know, so right. I don't know. But
just trying to survive, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
When you're trying to survive.
Yeah. So, but well, it was what it was. So.
I tried to sell my conga drums today. I've had a pair of conga drums for I think since like 2013, 14. I was really into reggae rock, and I was like, man, I'm gonna play conga drums.
Yeah,
that was awesome. So my wife bought me a pair of conga drums for one of my birthdays. And they're fun to play. It's a fun instrument. I took lessons from like a couple different people, like drum lessons and stuff, but I just never really had the patience. Like, it's one of those things where I got to sit down and do it, and I couldn't remember like some of the rhythms he showed me from like the day before. Like so like I would try to take notes and try to like record it with my phone, and it just, I couldn't, like, I don't know. It just didn't seem to work out right for me.
But what was your asking price?
Well, I started out at $350, and I knew I wasn't going to get $350. I was selling my drums, and I have some cases that go with them, like a padded case for if you go out to a gig or if you go out to practice. I was selling the drums and the cases for $350, which was a little expensive. And like every week went by, I would like take $50 out of it. I was selling this on Facebook Marketplace, so I was down to like $200. And this guy texted me, and he told me he was going to be here at 1 o'clock, and then it was like 1:30. I didn't see him, and then 2 o'clock, he didn't show up. So I didn't think he was interested anymore. And then around like 5 o'clock, he said, earlier I forgot my phone. It's like, how much would you take for him? And I said, $200. That's the price for him. You know, I told him what all was included. And then he's like, oh, well, can you do any cheaper? And I was like, no, not really. And then he was like, oh, we take $170. That's all the cash I have on me. And I was like, I'll do $190. And then he's like, how about $180? I'll give you $180 and I'll take them off your hands. And I was like, okay.
You didn't want to like the break his ball and say, I thought you only have $170.
After I know. Said that, $10.
He found it in his couch cushions, or right. He had a roll of quarters somewhere.
I had $10 in the bottom of my shoe. I was saving it for a great day. And he brought, so he had $180 on him. So he said, so he gets here, and it was like him and his son. So I guess he didn't speak really good English because his son was translating for him.
Mm. But,
it was weird because some questions I'd ask him, he would reply back like in perfect English. And then everything else, he would say something and then his kid would translate it. I showed him the drums, and he's like, oh, they need to be bigger. And I was like, huh? He's like, the drum I was thinking of was just slightly bigger. And I said, well, I only have these two drums. Like, that's what I posted on the ad. And the kid's like, oh, well, he wanted something bigger. I was like, all right, this is all I got. And he's like, will you go cheaper? I was like, no. You know? Yeah, guy's like, oh no, it's like I need something just slightly bigger. Like, I don't know what drums you're talking about. This is pretty much the standard type of drum for these, but
Well, did you then entertain interesting trades at that point, or OBO, as most people put on the OBO, you know, or best offer?
I didn't. That's something I should have. Like, you have any magic beans in your car? I was like, I'll trade them for magic beans.
A couple cartons of smokes. You know, what else? What else you got here?
Like a telephone booth. Got one of those. 13 mop handles without mop heads. Like, get real bizarre, right?
Just whatever you got laying around. If you're willing to trade, maybe we could make something work here.
But, right.
You know.
So. Nice food on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my weekend.
Yeah, typical. I don't know. I didn't have anything more interesting than that going on, so I don't really know. I can't add anything to those proceedings. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not really. I don't know. But yeah, it is what it is.
So. You've been listening to Family Vacations Hella Fucking Sideways this weekend?
Yeah, I did. I listened to the record a couple times through because I wanted to have some frame of reference. Now, I did a little research on this band because I wanted to know a little more about them before we went ahead and did this review. And what I could come up with is it's a three-piece band from Washington State. They classify themselves as a power violence band. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the genre. Basically, I'm going to be real honest. As someone who listens to both grindcore and power violence, I feel like the difference between those two genres is whatever the band decides they want to call themselves. You know, then you got bands calling themselves grind violence, whatever. It's basically the same idea, fast, short song structure. The only real difference I could see is usually maybe some of the grindcore bands will incorporate more metal-type elements. But really, when you look at the original grindcore bands, like the Napalm Deaths and stuff, those were mainly kind of bands that were punk-influenced anyway. So a lot of these bands that call themselves power violence today would have probably been a first-wave grindcore band anyway. So I don't know. You know, it is what it's like the difference between black and very dark navy blue. I don't know. There's not right. Much, but it's, you know, blast beats, D beats, downtune, bass, overdrive. But like we talked about, the interesting thing about this band, they have no guitarist, but they have two bassists and a drummer. One of the bassists is also the vocalist. So it is not what a lot of people may be accustomed to. I kind of have gotten more into this type of music, though, because, you know, I found a few bands that also are doing this style that I liked, and that's where I ended up finding this band as well. Now, this is a pretty obscure band. This is kind of really digging in the crates, per se, as a lot of people probably won't know this band. But it is an interesting release, to say the least. You know, I don't know what else you may know regarding it or any thoughts you have on it.
Yeah, I'm not like really sure. Like, I know the band has a bunch of different albums. I think they maybe have four or five on Bandcamp. This was one that kind of stuck out. I don't know if they've been on tour or anything. I've not really found any more information on them other than some of the stuff from their Bandcamp, and that, you know, they're also power violence, which I guess that's also like violent lyrics too, right?
Yeah, usually you're going to have some of that. You also have sometimes, although with this particular band, I didn't really see a lot of that when I went through their catalog, both the splits and that. Sometimes the lyrics are pretty political themed. This one didn't seem to be that political themed. It seemed to be more what you're saying, just kind of the along the lines of maybe like hardcore violent type lyrics.
Right.
But nonetheless, you know, short song structure, harsh vocal styles, sounds to be one vocalist most of the times with one other one maybe contributing here and there. But, you know, from what I saw in this record as well as their other records that were on there, most of the songs, there's not very many that are over maybe 40 seconds long.
Right.
That's the longer extremes of their catalog, but that's fairly typical of that kind of music, you know? So it's kind of what I would say is typical of bands of that genre. Now, go ahead.
It's great for people who don't want to make a big commitment in life.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like it because I could throw the record on and, like, probably about by the third stoplight of my daily commute, it's done already. So if I didn't really like it, I didn't waste too much time on the record. If I did like it, then I know I could go repeat it again about three times before I get to work, you know, at least, maybe more than that. So, you know, I don't know. I am a fan of the genre, but that's, you know, kind of a half serious thing. But I do like short, strong song structures. I don't feel there's a negative to that, but some people, you know, aren't necessarily into that. You know,
yeah,
but
yeah, I like to listen to it when I tie my shoes.
Yeah.
Time to tie both shoes. It's like, all right, it's over.
I was going to say, you might actually still be tying the second one before the record stops. You're already on your repeat cycle on song one by the time the second shoe's tied, you know, or maybe you smoke a couple of cigarettes before you get done with that. I don't know. Like, it's kind of typical. You know, I've rarely heard many bands in this kind of music go much over a minute and a half, maybe, for a song. And when they do, it's just something to put on an album for kind of like a stylistic change. Like, they might have the sludgier, longer kind of songs, but most don't even do that. It's just not typical for this type of music.
Right.
But, you know, one thing I think we'd want to talk about is how this may be different than what a lot of people are accustomed to, because the thing would be, a lot of people, especially people that listen to a lot of heavy music, and if you're not familiar with this particular flavor of this, the absence of the guitar is going to throw people a little, I think. And, you know, that might be something to think about here, because with a lot of heavy music, guitars take such a forefront. Alan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. So people who are used to listening to a lot of guitar are going to find out that this actually makes every song is just deeper and just sounds heavier without the guitar in it.
Yeah.
And the bass is something that's always been, like, just like you said, the guitar has always been, you know, the guy in the forefront, you know, the person who's the megastar, always has the guitar, has the cool guitar solos and things like that. I used to play bass back when I was in high school. And all the songs I learned were, like, not anywhere near as impressive as one of my friends who was playing guitar.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Hey, check it out. Like, I learned the solo to Crazy Train. Like, they're playing that. I'm like, oh, yeah, listen to this. This is what I learned. Boom, 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 boom. That's what it was. Like, man, it's like you can't be as cool as the guitar player.
No.
Even though the bass is a very important part of every song, you know?
Well, and you know, my thing with that is I always have felt, and, you know, and maybe we shouldn't go this way, but because I'm sure we're going to end up down a rabbit hole here. I always have felt, though, when a record mixes the bass out too much, the record doesn't sound heavy. The record sounds tinny, too much treble, you know, and you know where I'm probably going to go with this, and maybe we shouldn't discuss it, but the prime example of heavy music, a lot of late 80s thrash records, the bass you might as well not have on a lot of them. And you know where I'm going with this, right? Do we really want to do this?
Oh, I'm afraid I do. I think we should mention it.
Okay. Well, the very notorious example of it, I think a lot of it is just because of band politics and drama and all that, would be Metallica with And Justice for All.
Right.
And I don't want to get too into it, but, you know, I bought that record when I was probably in, like, fifth grade. And even at that age, and I didn't know a whole lot about music other than I was just learning how to play drums at that point. But when I listened to it, I was like, I don't know, something sounds weird. Like, what, something sounds like it's not there. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't. The whole thing sounded, like, thin to me. But I'm not going to say that that's the only record that sounded that way, because if you listen to, other than, in my opinion, the first two Slayer records, I think a lot of their stuff had that same sound. I don't know. That was just my opinion. Maybe not as bad of an example of it, but it wasn't that you know what? I'll put it this way. And not that I would expect Tom Araya from Slayer to play bass like Les Claypool or something, but you don't really hear a whole lot of bass, even on a record that is a good record like Rain and Blood or any of that. It's pretty much not there. You probably could just almost neglect it completely, and that's just something that those kind of records had. Whereas if you look at, and I know we talked about this band the other day, if we're talking about, you know, strictly we're talking straight metal stuff from that era, Death, if you listen to their first two records, you hear a lot of bass, or Autopsy right. was the other band who was notorious for mixing the bass heavy, and it made those records sound so much heavier, I feel like, than a lot of the other bands we were mentioning. Now, granted, we're talking about a completely different genre here with power violence or grindcore, where generally the bass is mixed fairly high. But even in this genre, you got bands that don't have a bass player. A couple examples would be Pig Destroyer. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yeah, I know Pig Destroyer.
Yeah, they, from what I understand, don't have a bass player, and neither does Magruder Grind, if you've ever heard of them. That's another one that was bassless, and of course, the classic example, Anal Cunt, never had a bass player. Although, I don't know. To me, they were just kind of a novelty act. I don't know. That might ruffle some people's feathers, but I was never... I wouldn't really use them as a great example of anything. I don't know, but you know what I mean. So.
Yeah. Probably the most infamous of all of them has to be the Injustice for All. You know, there's some other examples like non-metal bands I could think of, like the Black Keys, especially like some of their earlier stuff. Really, no bass in it, more just guitar.
Yeah, but yeah.
The Injustice for All, even though it didn't have bass, I mean that was an amazing, amazing album. I remember seeing the video for One. Whenever One came out, man, I just thought the song was just amazing. The guitar solos on it, and Injustice for All, that song, it's just a great album. You know.
Well, and I think that's the thing, though, is that particular genre of heavy music was very guitar-centered. You know, your bass player was maybe just playing some root note. Not that, and I know someone's going to say, well, that wasn't true on their Metallica first three albums, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the one particular album we're talking about. It really wasn't a bass-centric type of album. Neither were a lot of those Slayer records. I mean, when you look at what was going on bass, even on the ones where it is audible, it's not really an integral part of the sound. It's there to support the other parts.
Right.
But it's different because, you know, I completely think, though, and I don't know, maybe I'm being partial here because, like you were talking about playing bass, you know that I play it too.
Right.
I feel like you can make a song sound much more heavy and much more, I don't know what the right word is, but I don't want to say like...
It's like dark, like dark and heavy. It's like, it just has a different sound to it. It takes you to a different place.
Well, like, and here's going to be the other thing too. If you have good speakers and you do set them up to audibly hear that kind of thing, it's going to give you the kind of sound where you can feel... like not just hear the music, but you can feel your car or the room shake when you have something with heavy mixed bass into the song, you know, and that's kind of where I'm at with it, is I do like the bass heavy sound, but this is nothing new. This is where people started down tuning guitars anyway to make everything sound heavier. You know, it's basically
rattle when you play it, you know?
Yeah. And it's really the same idea, though. Like, it's not really any different. So when you have a band like the one we're talking about today, Family Vacation, that has two bass lines on every song, with the absence of the guitar, yeah, you're not going to have the higher pitched or shredding, per se. But at the same time, that's not the sound that these kind of records are going for anyway. They're going for deep, dark, heavy sound and stuff, and yeah, they'll still play fast, but it's a totally different style that you're looking at when you look at a record like this one. So
And you don't seem to see that style a lot. Like you said, you see it more with like grindcore metal and things like that, but you don't, it's not real prevalent in a lot of different types of music. Not a lot of bands doing just the bass. I think one of the more popular ones is a band called Bellwitch. If you've ever heard of that, they're like doom metal. It's like really slow. And I think they have like two bass players and a drummer. There's no guitar in it.
Well, and I think that's the thing that kind of to me jumps out with this. Like you said, that band's very slow.
Very slow.
Whereas this band is not that. I mean, they have a few songs with sludgier or slower passages for maybe about, I was going to say 20 seconds, but if it was 20 seconds, that would be the whole song. So I know it's not 20, like you know, maybe the first 5 to 10 seconds of the intro are slower to set the tone, and then it completely flies into a bunch of blast beats then. But I feel like it's funny because this is prevalent in the two extremes, either very slow, dark-sounding bands or these kind of bands, power violence, grindcore. I can name a few other ones off the top of my head that are doing this now. Water Torture. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
Water Torture. Are they doom metal or are they more grindcore?
They're like, they get kicked around as a grindcore power violence band. They're a band from New York. I think they disbanded, but I think they are getting back together. Maybe they're putting a record out or they were planning to play shows. I don't know. It said they were, but from what I understand, they're a two bass band. They have a little bit of a different sound though than this one that we're talking about today, Family Vacation, with a little more noise and even some electronic stuff thrown in, but it's still very much the same genre. The other one that really to me was the most influential to some of the music I started making here was Suffering Bastard, which is a grindcore band out of, well, they're no longer a band, but they were out of I want to say Rhode Island. Similar sound to this band we're talking today, very short songs, two bass players, heavy band. So
sounds like a lot of these bands come out of the north. You know, you got Washington, New York, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard of Extinction Level Event?
I haven't actually, but that's a new one.
There's three bass players in the band, and very heavy. It sounds like Meshuggah.
Oh, okay.
Meshuggah, very similar to that. They have a video on YouTube. You can look it up. It's called Entropy. And at the very beginning, it's funny. Like they're all sitting on a couch, and they have like these like fish pillows that they're playing. Yeah. Pretending they're bass guitars. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. And here's going to be my next thing. Yes. My question to you about this particular genre, with all this being considered, what do you think the average music fan would think? Not just average music fan, I guess we'd talk average heavy music fan would think about a band like this.
The average metal music fan, is that what you said?
Yeah, probably metal, punk, whatever. Anyone that would kind of find themselves somehow clicking on this particular record or anything of this same genre. Do you think they're going to like it, or do you think they're going to be like, what the hell is this shit?
Yeah, it really depends on like what your metal background is. Like if the you know, most metal you listen to is Five Finger Death Punch, and then you listen to this, you're going to be like, oh, what the hell? This isn't music. But if you listen, you're a fan of the band Anal Cunt, and you listen to this, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm very familiar with the very short songs that are just in your face, you know, just like raw, just powerful. You know?
Okay, but I think you're talking a little bit in extremes there because you're talking one of those. Well, I don't know. Now, someone will probably hate what I say. Both those are pretty awful. I don't know. I mean, you know, you're talking about one which, for all intents and purposes, you know, basically.
Well, I'm just saying,
an obscene joke, but I get what you mean, though. That would be someone who likes that would probably find themselves liking Family Vacation. Okay, but let's go down the middle a little bit. Let's say you're a fan of, okay, and I don't want to put like a Five Finger Death Punch because we know they're not very good and they're awful too. Like, let's put like, okay, you were listening to a lot of either thrash or death metal records, or maybe you listen to a lot of hardcore punk. Like, you were into, like, I don't know how, me and you talked a lot about bands like that, like the New York hardcore bands. Like, you like I don't know, the Cro-Mags or Scarhead or Sick of It All or something. And you put this record on.
Sick of It All is a good example.
Yeah, like, those are classic New York-style hardcore bands, which play fast, but their songs aren't 15 seconds long, you know what I mean? But
I'm just thinking of the short metal genre, you know, songs that are super short. That was what my comparison for that.
Yeah. No, I know what you meant. I know. or let's just say you're the typical thrash metal fan, and you put a record like this on. Like, say you like Slayer. Do you think that guy's going to like this, or is he going to be kind of taken
off? I think most people will probably see, like, the how short it is. I think most people will I think, like songs that are longer is what I think. Even like, you have, like, each one of these songs, you know, like, there's like the songs are good, but it's like, it's really short. You know, sometimes people, like, you know, leaves them wanting more.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's for, like, most people who listen to metal. I feel like that would be kind of how they would review this.
Yeah. Yeah. What about, okay. So that would be, and this is going to be my next question. What would be, like, your criticism? Would that be one of this record? Is the songs just weren't long enough? Or
there are a couple on here where it's like, it sounds like I could use another 30 seconds of it because it sounds really good. I'm just getting into it, and then it kind of stops, you know?
But, yeah, yeah.
And that's the genre of music. But I think for, like, your typical metal fan, I think that would be a lot of their criticism would be that they want it to be a little bit longer. But
yeah.
You know, but the songs, it has, like, raw emotion, and it's just powerful, and it's just it's like a punch to your face when you turn these songs on. And that's kind of what's nice about it too. In the same time, is it's nice and short, and
yeah,
it kind of gets to the point, right?
And I mean, really, I guess when we're talking, that's this genre. It's not probably ever going to be one that's going to have very long songs. Usually, when a band, then a classic example would be, you know, Napalm Death, when they started changing their sound and having longer, slower songs, people were like, well, they're not really a grindcore band,
right?
You're not wrong in that assumption, but, you know, I don't know. You know, bands do that, though. They change styles. But I guess it just depends. You know, for me, I do like this genre, but I will say I don't think it's for everybody.
If you're a fan of Neurosis and you like those really long, drawn-out songs that are, like, 8-9 minutes long, like, those are cool, too. You may not like this type, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's something for everybody, and I think there is something here that people do find that the short songs are better than longer songs.
Yeah, and you know, I think the other side of it is too, just for your average fan, when we were talking about this with the guitar kind of laden styles they might be used to, they might not like this either. I don't know, because the way it sounds, it just sounds so different. If you're used to hearing a lot of guitar-centric kind of records.
Right.
But honestly, I can't really tell you if that would be as much of a deal breaker, because I think a lot of people would put it on and be like, wow, this sounds really heavy, though. And that's going to be the first thing that jumps out. Now, you know, if nothing else, it might open someone's eyes into different styles that have this type of setup. You know, there are bands playing this, like you were talking about, two bass players or multiple bass players, but they don't play it in this particular style. So it gives you the insight that there is bands out here doing this that may be worth a listen, you know.
Right. But
overall, I enjoyed the record, and I went in and listened to some of their other records too, which most of them are splits, but that's typical, again, of the genre. They don't press a lot of full albums and grindcore and power violence. There's a lot of splits. But the only real criticism I had of the record, the drum sound, it's okay, and it's not atypical of the genre, but there was a few parts where it kind of, I don't know, I didn't like some of the sound, like the snare sound. I don't know what you thought about it, but kind of that overly ringy, and you know, it is lower fi type production, though, which lends itself to that. But you know, that was my only real criticism. After a while, that kind of sound I don't necessarily like. It just sounds less clarity. But that was about my only criticism of this record. I liked it overall.
So you might be talking about the song Projections on here. There's a part in it where it's kind of ringy, where it has like some sudden stops.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like a squeak, like a guitar.
Yeah, and yeah.
I don't know what you call that, but that might be what you're talking about, Projections, which I think my two favorite songs off of this album is probably Gravy Maker.
That was my favorite, that one. Yeah. I like the closing song, too. That was my other favorite, the last song on the record.
You Too is really good. The Gravy Maker, yeah. It starts off the beginning rhythm. Then it just has this explosive bass and drums that come in after that. And the next song after that, it almost like flips. The song Obligations comes out where it starts out with just explosive bass and drums, and then it goes into like a slower rhythm.
Yeah.
And it kind of keeps that, and it hits fast at the end, kind of like a power violence sandwich, if you will.
Yeah, that was what I noticed. What I liked, and those are the best examples, those songs you just mentioned. But I like that shifting that went on. Like, I like that in this genre, particularly when bands do that. I'm a fan of that shift when you go back and forth between those turns. Because I think, you know, as much as I like blast beats and all that stuff, it gets old if you just hear a record where it's nothing but blast beats the entire time. I need to have a little bit of transitions and other stuff in there to keep it from getting too stale. And that was, I think, the best thing about this record. And that would be, you know, my thing is another band I'd suggest that does that very well is Water Torture that we already talked about. So
I'll have to check them out.
Yeah, definitely check them out because they got a few different records out. They got some splits and some records they put out on their own. But those are all great examples of that same style there, that back and forth kind of.
Yeah, GT2 also has a little bit. I think from the whole album, I think that's the most technical.
Yeah.
It really shows you that all you really need is a bass and drums and some hardcore vocals to really make a song sound awesome and hardcore and fit the power violent genre here.
Yeah.
I'm going to play, I guess I'll play some Gravy Maker.
Okay.
A little bit from that, just so you can hear what we're talking about how, you know, the rhythms kind of change up a little bit. In certain parts of the song. So this is Gravy Maker off of Hella Fucking Sideways. I like that. I like it how it has that just that change up in beats.
Yeah, no, that and honestly, I think this is a great representation of this type of music. You know, if I was going to tell someone to check out a record that's going to be definitive of power violence grind, it's not that different from most grindcore bands either. But you know, I would say this is a great record to check out if you're a fan of either of those genres. It's going to have a lot of the things that you're going to like. If you haven't heard of this band, because I know I didn't hear of this band. Someone else suggested them to me shortly before I actually talked about them to you. And that's, you know, I just found this one recently. So.
Definitely. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I found out who they were from you and they're really cool. And it's, I hope people listening, go check them out. They're on Bandcamp. The band's called Family Vacation, Hella Fucking Sideways. It's always good when you have someone suggest something to you because it might be music that you've never heard of before or just not into. And then usually from a suggestion, you're like, yeah, you know what? I kind of like that song. And you start getting into some of these other genres. That's the main way I've gotten into like metal and different types of metal over the years is just suggestions, you know, from different people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and, you know, like we talked about at the beginning of this particular episode we're doing here, this is really kind of digging deep because I know a lot of people aren't going to know this band or probably a lot of the other ones we may talk about going forward here. Right. And really, you know, with these types of music, And now it's all different these days because we don't have record stores. And even now you can't go to a show because of the pandemic. But it really is word of mouth where you're going to find this stuff. And Bandcamp's a great resource. There's other ones out there like SoundCloud, Spotify. You can get on there and find all kinds of different bands. But it really is, you know, you kind of got to dig around and kind of just talk to other people you know who are into this type of music, and you'll start finding a lot of different stuff you can get into. And this is definitely one of those ones that, you know, if you haven't heard this kind of style of music or you haven't heard this particular band, I'd suggest checking them out. If you're into heavy music in general, it might not be your cup of tea because it is different for some people, but it's something to check out, though.
All right. That was Family Vacation, Hella Fucking Sideways. Got Dimitri Sparks and Dick DeFiles.
All right. Signing off.